Good morning, everybody. How is everybody doing? Asleep? No coffee? Uh-oh. Hey, if you all enjoyed Sister Bev and her music, would you all just give her a round of applause again, please? You have touched our congregation today in such a way. We have not had live music since I have been here. I don't think we've had live music in probably 3 or 4 years or longer. And to have the piano being played and hearing the words of Jesus, victory in Jesus, and how good our God is and how faithful He is, and, you know, just the love of God, to hear it come through is absolutely amazing. Thank you. Thank you. And there will be a love offering at the end. I wanted to prepare you guys so you guys can be mentally preparing for this. I'd like to give a love offering to Tom and Bev because, you know, they traveled a little bit to get here and gave up, you know, a Sunday from their church to come be with us. And I would just like to give back for what they gave to us. So thank you. How many of you knew that I was sick this week? How many of you knew that it came on to me like that? Yeah. I never, ever, ever want to experience what I experienced this last week ever again. I would do COVID over what I had this last week again. All right? It was terrible. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. And I'm one of those guys that doesn't go to the doctor, right? You guys know I still haven't gone to the doctor for my knee and everything, right? So I just don't go to the doctor, right? Because I just don't want to do it. But I almost broke down and went to the doctor this week. But thank you all. So I would lead that into, you know, Jesus is our healer, and we sang about that in our hymn today, you know, and I definitely feel like God healed me within a couple days, and I slept for like 20 hours, and so I guess when God tells you to rest, you better do it or He's going to make you do it, right? So take note of that. You can work hard, and hard work is good. You know, my dad works hard, and I try to mimic my work ethic after my dad, and you know, he's a hard worker, but he also knows when to rest. And so I'm telling you guys as a shepherd, rest, okay? Work hard, rest hard, all right? Take it. It's good. God rested, right? He rested on the seventh day after creating everything. All right, so... We are upon Resurrection Sunday in 2 weeks. There are some things that didn't get planned this year, and I'm going to have to just lay this out, and I apologize sincerely, but I don't know if we're going to do a Good Friday service. I have not been able to talk to any of my leadership about it, so there has not been any planning about a Good Friday service, so I don't know about Good Friday. I apologize way in advance about... you know, this Good Friday service. I would like to do something, but there's something also planned on Good Friday. So if you guys would be okay with it, because I'm wanting to do something special on Easter, you know, on Resurrection Sunday, rather, I want to do a breakfast and then a service afterwards. If you guys are okay with not doing a Good Friday service, you know, we'll talk about with the elders and the leaders. So elders, we need to have a meeting like as soon as possible. All right. With that being said, we are in the Resurrection series, sermon series, and I would like to go to the Lord in prayer. For some reason, I'm a little jittery today, and I have to apologize for that. And also, it's probably because I'm back at work today. And I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be upright and back with my church family, and glad that, you know, Jesus allowed me to walk away from yet another bout of illness. And, you know, I don't want to take that lightly. There are some people who have passed away from something a lot less minute than what I had, and then there's some people who battle pneumonia, you know, double pneumonia and stuff. So it's all, you know, it's all in. Every time I hear that somebody's sick, you got to just lift them up to the Lord because He's our healer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you so much for this day. And God, we just thank you so much for the goodness that you have for your children. God, you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to be the Savior of the world, so that we could be reconciled with you. Because there's this thing called sin, Father God, and you know what that is. And you couldn't stand it. You couldn't stand sin. So you had to send Jesus. Jesus had to come and be the atonement for that sin so that we could be reconciled with you. Lord Jesus, as we talk about Jesus and your, as kingdom over all today, or king over all today, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would, your character would shine through today. That people would walk away and say, I can see how Jesus modeled as a he modeled his kingship. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just take over and that you would fill the hearts of the people here today. Thank you so much for every single one of the sheep that are here today, Lord God. Thank you so much for the fold. And we ask that we bring you all the praise and the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, in our Road to Resurrection Sunday, we have asked the question, what is Jesus worth to you? And also last week, if you remember, Brother Fish brought the Romans Road to Salvation. So the first week of the Resurrection Sunday, I asked, what is Jesus worth to you? What is Jesus worth to you? And we talked about Judas, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then we talked about Mary, who saved up a year's worth of savings and bought the alabaster oil and broke it open over Jesus. So you saw the correlation. And then I asked the question, what is Jesus worth to you? All right, I'm going to try this thing. Maybe. Aha. Uh-huh. Look at that. I can do it myself. Why? All right. So this is your introduction slide. All right. So before I continue on, real quick, I got some sermon notes. I'm going to want you guys to fill in the blanks. I got some fill in the blanks for you. And at the end, if you missed a... if you missed a blank, I'll be more than happy to tell you after the service. All right, so in our Road to Resurrection Sunday, again, I asked the question, what is Jesus worth to you? And then last week, Brother Fish felt led to bring the Romans Road to Salvation. You know, he started off with Romans 3:23, then Romans 6:23, right? And then Ephesians 2:8-9, right? So he led you guys through the Romans Road to Salvation. And then we stated that Jesus was in control of his crucifixion and that he knew that Judas would betray him, that Peter would deny him, and that Jesus would be, the Jews would shout, crucify him. And he knew that the cup he was getting ready to bear, he knew that he was getting ready to bear a cup that was unbearable to humankind. And even though he knew it, he asked God the Father to take the cup from him because he was obedient even unto death. Well, today we are continuing on our Resurrection Sunday, our journey to Resurrection Sunday by looking at Jesus as King overall. I hope that today you will learn how Jesus acted as King overall and apply his example to your own life. He wasn't prideful. He showed the ultimate example of humility. He was obedient. I think we can all agree that these three things we can apply to our own lives and try to be an example to those around us. So Philippians 2 is going to be my main passage here. I wanted to read this. Philippians 2, and starting in verse 5. So in the Blue Bibles, it would be on page 980 in the pew in front of you. If you have any other version, I don't know how to tell you what page number it's on. And if you have a cell phone, and you got the Bible app, all you got to do is scroll through it until you get to Philippians. No page number. All right. I'm going to start in verse 5. I'm going to start in verse 3. Do nothing. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My first point is Jesus was not prideful. Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Do nothing from selfish ambition. This is a fill in the blank right here. I try to highlight it for you guys. Can you guys see it okay? Can you guys see the font okay? All right, so it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also into the interest of others. Have this in this mind among you yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul was writing to the Philippians in this particular passage, but we can see the example of Christ's humility in this passage. He said, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Brother Fish, you know, you always follow the Holy Spirit's prompting, and I love that because, you know, you said that you feel like you're selfish and that you go to Walmart and you just want to get in and get out and not have to talk to anybody and, you know, Here we are. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, right? And it just rolled right into my sermon today, brother, so that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else into that. But selfish ambition can also be looked at as this is a prideful attitude, like personal glory. There are so many people who are famous people who love to be doted on. You know, they love to be recognized for all their work, you know. And there are some people who are not rich and famous who love to do things out of selfish ambition. I dare say that I know some church folk that do things for recognition and selfish ambition, right? None of us. We're all saints here at CMA, but you know, I've known some people in the past, you know, that have done things for their own personal glory. I know some pastors who come off, look at the church that I've grown, you know. I mean, look at what I did. Look at all the work that I put into this church, and now it's flourishing, and Jesus said we should not have that kind of prideful attitude. Pastors shouldn't be pastors out of selfish ambition. People shouldn't do things at church for their own personal glory. Folks who have humbled themselves and served Jesus. There's another example that Fish gave. You know, he was talking about humbling himself, you know, to be able to be ready at a moment's notice to share the gospel with somebody. If we're doing things out of a prideful, arrogant attitude, we're not going to be ready at a moment's notice to share the gospel because we're going to be too focused on our own prideful hearts and our own personal glory. And Jesus, if you look right here, Paul said, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He said, have the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Another word you can look at is conceit. Empty glory, the road to personal pursuit, or personal glory, which all are motivations of selfish ambition. Right? So we don't want to do anything out of selfish ambition because it could lead to a prideful attitude. And a prideful attitude could lead to conceit, and conceit could lead to personal pursuit, right? So we want to, for all of you who have taken biblical counseling, those are all heart issues. So we go back and we look at the conditions of our heart, and we say that, you know, Jesus as king, he could have came down and been born in something better than the Taj Mahal. No king would have even seen the palace that Jesus could have built for himself. But he came down as a servant. He came down and he was born in a stinky stable, laid in a manger. To become the savior of the world. He humbled himself. He was not prideful. He was not arrogant. He was not here for his personal glory. He was here to serve the Father, because you can see him communing with Father, the God the Father, throughout the New Testament, especially in the Gospels. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Looking at 2:5, having the mind like Christ, we obtain true glory by being imitators of Christ. We obtain true glory by being imitators of Christ. Again, I'm going to go back to this as a heart issue. If we're imitating Christ, we're going to stop and, you know, we're going to slow down and talk to the people that, you know, want to talk to us. Sometimes, I'll admit it, sometimes I get a text from somebody, you know, somebody from the church, and it's 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I don't feel like responding. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock at night, I'm with my family, why are they texting me? But to them, it could be an emergency. It may not be an emergency, but to them it is. It's a crisis. In my own prideful, conceited way, I could say, I don't want to deal with this. Or I could be an imitator of Christ, and I can respond in a loving way and address the situation that they have and then move on. Sometimes I have to check my own attitude. Sometimes I have to look at myself and say, am I being humble like Christ? Am I being prideful? I always want to stay humble. I always want to stay in humility like Christ. I want to be a servant to CMA Church, and I want to be a servant to Christ our King. I want to be an imitator of Christ. You know, imitator, I think of, the best illustration that I could think of as an imitator, you know that the moon, it does not have a light. It reflects the sun's light, right? So the sun is so bright, and then when we see the moon, it's because it's reflecting the sun, the light of the sun. And that's what we should be. We should be reflecting the light of Jesus in us to others, right? Because we're not Christ. We're not the Savior of the world. We have to humble ourselves. We have to watch. Because Jesus, who is king over all, was not prideful. Philippians 2:7. But Jesus emptied himself. This is Jesus continuing on, looking at King Jesus as king over all. Look at what he did. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And then 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of the godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. This is Jesus who we serve today. He had all authority of heaven, yet concealed it in human form. Jesus, not being prideful, came down and manifested himself in the human likeness so that he could walk. He could walk on the earth for 30 years. Well, he was here for 33 years, but 30 years. And then at age 30, he started his ministry, right? He was baptized and he started his ministry. And then for 3 years, he ministered and taught the disciples everything they were to know before he was taken up after his death on the cross. He manifested himself into human likeness. He walked through trials and temptations. He was tempted. He was tested. He was put to death because he had to conquer death. He had to conquer the testing. He had to conquer the trials and temptations that came his way because he was modeling that for us. Because we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are Christ followers, can overcome trials and temptations, right? Now, there are some things we can't conquer. We cannot conquer death, right? Once God calls us home, that's it. But then, being Christ follower, as a Christian, we have conquered death because we go on into glory with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. My second point is Christ's example of selfless humility. Christ's example of selfless humility, or example of humility. He made himself of no reputation. He came down as, he didn't have a reputation. He wasn't Michael Jordan. He wasn't Scottie Pippen. He wasn't LeBron James. He wasn't Kobe Bryant. He wasn't Bill Gates. He had no reputation. He came down here as a servant to be born in a, like I said, in a stinky stable, laid in a manger. He could have come and been born in the best palace that no human king has ever seen or been in. But again, Jesus emptied himself. That's selfless humility, folks. That's selfless humility. He made himself, But see, even though he didn't have a reputation, he has a reputation now. And that reputation is that Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is the King of Kings. You know, if you go to Isaiah 53, or actually Isaiah 9, it says, verse 6, check this out. This is the kind of reputation that Jesus has now. When I say he had no reputation, he came not as a king, like a conquering king, you know, that they were expecting a king to come and conquer the Romans, right? They were expecting, the Jews were expecting the Romans to be wiped out. And although Jesus had to snap his fingers and he could have done it, he didn't. He didn't come to conquer the Romans. He came to conquer something much bigger than the Romans, and that is sin. But check this out. And this is part of the Christmas story, but it also fits in with the resurrection story. This is Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, right? Did Jesus do biblical counseling with his disciples? Yes, he did, all the time. He had to tell them to check their attitude. He had to tell them what to watch out for, right? That's Jesus. In humility, he was going to be called these wonderful things. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we know that he's the Prince of Peace because he came and brought peace on earth and goodwill to men, right? He did that through, again, dying on the cross. There's only one, if there's one thing that you guys, I want you guys to get, is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And he brought peace. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At the very end, when the end of times happens, or you know, when it's all ready to be done, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But then there's going to be people who are separated, and some will go to hell and some will go to heaven. You know, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And I hear people talking today about I think people who cannot who say they don't believe in God, that's a prideful attitude. That's a prideful attitude. People who say, I don't believe there's a God, or I don't believe that he created everything. You know, I don't believe that Jesus died for us. I think they're on their own road to self-glorification. And that's not the road they want to be on. And one day they're gonna bow before Jesus and they're gonna confess that he is Lord. Paul was talking to the Philippians about this. And Timothy, right? He was telling them the same thing. That Jesus manifested himself. Right? If Paul wanted the Philippians to know that, Paul wanted us to know that because it's written down. It's written down. And I think we get the best picture of Jesus as King over all because he was willing to sacrifice his life for his sheep. I think a king would go and defend his fortress with everything he had, even to the point of death. That is showing true humility. Jesus did that. My third point. As Jesus came as a light, Isaiah 9:2 says this. And this is, Isaiah, this is a prophecy of the Israelites, and they were going to be in captivity. But it also applies to us today. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. This is talking about Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. It is synonymous to Jesus coming as the Messiah, this passage here, to set the sinners who are captive in sin free. He came as a great light. Isaiah 9:2 is talking about the God's covenant with Abraham to multiply his physical descendants. But you see, God even instructed Abraham. I just read this a few weeks ago, that God told Abraham that your descendants are going to be in captivity. They're going to go through captivity, and then they're going to be released, and they'll go into captivity. Actually, he told them they're going to be in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. He told them that. Abraham didn't even question that. Jesus didn't question the cross. He was obedient. Abraham knew that God's promise was going to be fulfilled. And I don't want to, I'm not adding anything in there. I'm just trying to give you guys a little bit of background there. Just a brief, you know, what's going on in this Isaiah passage, and why are we talking about, you know, Philippians 2? Because Jesus came as the light. And God fulfills his promises. The road to Resurrection Sunday. I wanted to really bring out, hopefully over the next couple more weeks, why we as Christians celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And a lot of people say Easter Sunday, but a lot of people have started correlating Easter with the chocolate bunny, and I just don't like that, because it's something greater than chocolate. Chocolate's good, but Jesus is better. Jesus is the ultimate thing that we need. We don't need chocolate to survive. We need Jesus for eternity. And Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. Again, he humbled himself. Can you guys imagine giving up your house that you live in, like that's your kingdom, and you go, missionaries do it. Michelle Gruber's getting ready to go back over to the tea house. She's going to leave America and all of our, you know, all of our wealth of resources here, you know, and she's going back over to the tea house to start sharing the gospel. She wants to share that light with the lost. Where, what was the statistic? 1 in 500,000 know Jesus over there, or something like that, or 1 in 50,000 know Jesus. Here, we have several thousand people that know Jesus. There's a church on every corner here in Greenville, Ohio. You could throw a stone and hit a church building. Because Jesus came down in humility as King of Kings. And that's why we have what we have. We have churches in America because people came and ministered to the Americans. They call those the Great Awakenings. Remember, Brother John, the Great Awakenings? You know, we had missionaries come over here and tell us about the Great Light. Share the Great Light with us, the good news, the gospel, Jesus. With us. And then it spread like wildfire, right? And they would have people on horseback, and they would ride from town to town sharing the gospel. The Alliance here has been here 108 years now, this church, sharing the light with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, sending out missionaries to go over because they're humbling themselves, right? There it is, humbling themselves, not being prideful, not being arrogant, but giving up everything, not for selfish ambition, not self-glorification, but to be like Christ. Again, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Meaning, in this passage here, that Jesus is the rightful heir of David, and he will inherit the promise of the the covenant of David. That is how Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because God has orchestrated it that way. And because Jesus came and humbled himself. You see, he was sinless. He was perfect. He was God in the flesh. Paul even said that in Philippians. He was manifested. He was God in the flesh, but he did not consider himself equal with God, but he considered himself the Son of God. There it is, again, not being prideful, not being haughty or arrogant, humble. Can you guys imagine that? Like, can you just imagine, like, what kind of a king was Jesus? He was a great king because he wanted to be around his people. At first, King Saul, let's think about this for just a second. Let me give you a good representation here. Jesus, loving Jesus as Christ, he's our Savior of the world. He loved us so much, he died for us, right? King Saul, he started off humble. He started off obeying God. He started off worshiping God correctly. And then what happened? His own prideful, selfish ambition got in the way. He started to not follow the ways of the Lord. He sinned against God. And what happened? He lost his kingdom. He lost his kingdom. And not only did he lose his kingdom, but his family could not inherit the kingdom. It went on to King David. And then the Bible says in the Old Testament that Jesus would be the heir of that line of David. That Jesus would be the heir of that line of David. And so when he was born, it's that prophecy being fulfilled. Right? Because one day, Jesus is coming back as king. He's not coming back as a servant the second time. He's not coming back to be born in a stable again. He's coming back on a horse, and he's got a sword, and he is going to win. He's going to win. See, Jesus wasn't a wimp when he came down and died on the cross. I want you to examine your own life. I want you to examine your own hearts. And I want you to think about when you serve in the church, when you serve in your work, or you're working at your work, are you thinking of others more than yourself? Or do you do things for your self-glorification? Are you representing Jesus as Lord of your life by sharing the light? Or are you being prideful? Examine your hearts. Examine your hearts. Are you living in humility? Are you willing to let God restore a Christ-like attitude in your life? If Jesus, who was God in the flesh, came and lived a sacrificial life and a humble life, gave up everything so that we, as human beings, could have the freedom from captivity of sin, and he was obedient unto death, what kind of attitude should we have? What kind of attitude should we have? I know plenty of people in authority who are not humble or kind. When you think about Jesus as king over all, would you remember that he gave up everything in heaven as it was prophesied to break down, break the captives of sin free? That to me is a true king. He conquered the one thing that separated us from God, sin. Again, look at those questions. Look at those questions. As I share a couple of passages with you guys, Romans, again, I think it's good to do some reflecting. Romans 3:23, look at those questions up there. And if you're not a Christ follower, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today, I want you to listen to these words. Listen to these words. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." For all have sinned. That's every single one of us. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So it doesn't matter how much we try to shoot that target, right, fish? We're going to miss it because we fall short of the glory of God. And our justified, that means that justified is just as if I am not guilty. Justification. And are justified by his grace as a gift. So it's a free gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. It's a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So it reads like this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." And this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." I want you guys to understand that. And even in our walk with Christ, even as we are moving towards sanctification, if we're Christians, sanctification is a lifelong process of becoming more Christ-like. So we'll have days where we're not humble. We'll have days that we're more prideful than we should be. And the good news is that that can be forgiven by the washing of the blood of Christ. We can ask for forgiveness of our sins. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you see how everything points back to Jesus as king over all? I want you to think about those two passages. I'm going to pray us out, and then Sister Bev has one more song for us. And Jesus is king over all. Is Jesus king of your life? Are you able to say that Jesus is Lord of your life? Go back to the questions. Are you living in humility? And are you willing to let God restore a Christ-like attitude? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, you are just so good. And again, you sent your Son, Jesus, who humbled himself, manifested himself in the flesh, was God in the flesh, but considered himself not equal with God, but as the Son of God, to be the Savior of the world, to take on sin, that cup that he had to look at, was all the sins of the world on his back. His body was broken. Jesus, you went through so much on the cross, that agony that you went through to conquer death, to conquer sin, to help us have light. Jesus, would you help us share the light with those around us? Would you help us live in humility? Would you be Lord of our lives? Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Would you help us evaluate our hearts so that we can have the right attitude for not selfish ambition, not glorification of ourselves, but sanctification, the process of becoming more like you, Jesus. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that it does not return void. Lord, I tried something new today, so it felt a little bit different. But Lord, I just pray that somebody was walking away with something and you spoke to their hearts. And it wasn't me speaking, but it was you speaking through me. Thank you so much for this worship service. I just pray that it was all for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand again, and we'd like to sing 596 in the hymnal, He is Lord.